Verse 24. Now he's telling us up ahead the anointing, again, the Spirit of truth, Christ in us as the believer, the hope of glory. But notice what he says. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. He's talking about now the word of truth. Okay? Going back to John, the Gospel of John. Yeah. We'll probably spend more time there. 17. Look at verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Okay? This is what he's talking about. Jesus linked the word of God with himself. That's why many people believe they have Jesus. But he himself said, if you don't keep my word, you don't love me. He made it plain. See, we have many people giving mental assent to who Jesus is. I'll say more than that. 1.5 billion people in the world claim to be Christians because they believe Jesus is the Son of God. And they're going to hell. Because the demons believe that and it hasn't changed them. Mental assent proves nothing. Jesus says, you're my friends if you do whatever I tell you. He said, why call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do what I tell you? He doesn't recognize them. Remember, Jesus is the one that said, many will come to me in that day, the day of judgment, and say what? Lord, Lord. They can believe he's their Lord. He said, many, multitudes. He says, then will I profess to them, I do not know you, ye workers of lawlessness. And he's going to say, depart from me into everlasting hell. Isn't that horrible? But that's people who say what? Lord, Lord. Remember the seven churches in Revelation. They were saying, Lord, Lord. They mentally accepted who he was. And Jesus addressed the church of Sardis and said, you have a name, you're alive, but you're dead. And then he looked over at Laodicea and says, you say you're rich, but you're naked and poor. And he's outside knocking. But they all believe mentally who Jesus was. See, many people think they can have a Savior without a Lord. It's false doctrine. I call it a doctrine of the devil. I like to make it plain. Now, go back and study Scripture. In all the New Testament, Jesus as Savior is only mentioned 16 to 20 times. Jesus as Lord is mentioned over 400 times. There is no distinction. Many people try to tell you that, well, Jesus is my Savior, I'm just not following him. It's because you're backslidden on your way to hell. That's why. And you're deceived. And John's going to talk about these deceivers. No, I don't believe in it. Lukewarm, the carnal, and the worldly end up in hell if they die in that state. God has no consolation for him. And he's going to tell us three or four things how you can know you're in God. We won't get to them tonight. But one of them is you have to keep his word. And see, many people are saying, Lord, Lord. And he says, but you're not doing what I tell you. So Jesus does not recognize lip service nor mental assent. And a multitude of professing Christians go to church and say, Lord, Lord. It's simply God does not recognize them because they do not keep his commands. They do not submit to the kingdom of Christ. See, that's what it means. They have to submit to the laws of the kingdom. And God said it. He said, go into all the world, teaching them to observe all things that I have told you. See, they're trying to pervert Scripture and call themselves Christians, and they're going to be shocked like the five foolish virgins that were not ready. And he locked the door on them. And when they knocked, he said, I don't know you. And they thought he knew him. They were backsliders. They didn't remain in the Lord. You see, that's a sad thing. Many do not remain. They do not do what the apostles said. They must continue in the faith. They must continue in grace. They must continue in the fear of the Lord. There was no one-time experience that saved you forever like the false teachers are teaching today. That only gets you in the right race. That only gets you in the kingdom. But there's things to do. You have to overcome and finish your race. See? It ain't optional. These are false teachers who teach this. They're called doctrines of devils. I call it greasy grace. False faith. James called it faith without works. He said it's dead faith. It don't work. Paul called it using the grace of God in vain. And in Hebrews, he called it something deadly, despising the spirit of grace. You know. So again, let's get back and see what Scripture says instead of what public opinion and false shepherds have to say. Okay, so he says, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. What was it? The Word. Now, over there in the same chapter 17, look at verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Now, it's interesting, the anointing, he said, was the Spirit of truth. And he's going to set us apart unto Jesus. This is what it means, from the world. This is what reconciliation is. God washes us and cleanses us. He says, you were once of the world. Paul used a different term also. He said, you were once murderers and liars and whores and homosexuals. And he went down the list. He says, such were some of you. You notice he used the past tense. You can't remain in those states and be in Christ Jesus. He said, but you are washed. You are sanctified, set apart through Jesus Christ. And see, this is what it meant. So he says, the word will set you apart for God. It will sanctify. Why? It's a discerner. It will tell you the truth. Sanctify them by your truth. What is he saying? The word will do it. The Holy Spirit uses the word of God to convict of sin. He even uses the law. People say, oh, the law is the old. No, you cannot be saved without the law. Because the Holy Spirit slays your sin using the law. The law is just and holy. It just can't redeem. But it has a good use. It drives the person to the sacrifice. It shows them the means to keep the law from judging you. Why is the law the change? No, the law is God. The law is who God is and what he demands. And notice what it says, sanctify them by your truth. Now he's going to explain it to you. Your word is truth. How is he going to sanctify people? By truth. And who's going to do it? The Spirit of truth. And how is he going to do it? He's going to use the word and give life to it. This is what Paul said, the letter of the law killeth. You can have mental assent to Scripture. You can believe all the Scripture and everything the Scripture says and believe it perfectly and go straight to hell. Because you're a hearer of the law and not a doer. You're sitting there saying, that's true, that's true, that's true, and do nothing about it. Jesus talked about those who heard all of his teachings and parables, and he said, did you understand these? And they all went. And then he proceeded to say, and not to the people who never heard him, the ones who heard all of his teachings. He said, now he that hears these sayings of mine, my words, and does them, he said, builds on a rock. And he said, and he who hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them builds on the sand. And he talks about the destruction of that house. But they heard. They all heard. And see, James says, don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers. And he uses another term. James says, don't be a hearer of the word only, deceiving yourself, thinking because you know Scripture back and forth, that that makes you right with God. No, that holds you more accountable. That's going to cause some people to judge more severely when God comes, because they're going to have known more. And that servant which knew his master's will shall be beaten with many stripes. You know, to him that is given, much more shall be required. That's why we're not to brag about our gifts and callings. If someone has a greater calling, an anointing, a more measure of the Spirit, they're going to answer for more. It all works out. Ain't nothing to be puffed up about. If you get puffed up, it shows you're already in the flesh. And God has already promised to resist you, because he always resists the flesh. And he don't care who it's in. He'll always come against the flesh, the old nature, in anybody, you know. And people go around saying, touch not the Lord's anointed. Touch. I tell them, hey, when the Lord's anointed sins, he ceases to be the Lord's anointed. Go after him and reveal his sin. See, that's why Paul was very tolerant of the beginners that weren't in gross sin. But he says, you, the teachers, and you ministers, he said, when you sin, rebuke them before everybody. He didn't say do it quietly. He didn't say go hide it. He said rebuke them before everybody that they'll learn not to sin. He expected more of them. I don't believe in hiding people's sin. They're false shepherds who do this. You know, and he said rebuke them. Why? Because if they're spiritual, they'll take it. And they'll listen and they won't repeat it. They'll learn. And see, and Paul practiced what he preached. He waited until everybody got around Peter. He didn't go privately to him. And he called him a hypocrite in front of all the other apostles. And you know, Peter took it. That's why Peter could write years later, our brother Paul has some hard things to say. Well, he had heard them, didn't he? He called him a hypocrite for the way he acted. And he conformed. And he said he was right. You know, he wasn't acting properly. And he rebuked him for it. He cared too much what James thought. Remember, James ran the church, not Peter. The half-brother of Jesus was the bishop of Jerusalem. It wasn't Peter, as false Catholicism teaches. Of course, everything else they teach is false, too, so why should that surprise us? But to be fair, the liberal Protestants, they're not going to fare no better. They're going to be worse. Okay? So what is he saying? If that which abides in you, what? The word of truth. What did you hear from the beginning? The apostle says the message which we delivered to you. The gospel of the kingdom. You know, what we delivered, the kingdom message. And what was the kingdom message? It wasn't just come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It keep his word, to obey him and submit to the king. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of grace. And he gives us the ability, the enabling to obey the king. We can obey the king. Don't let people tell you you can't. They're liars. And John's going to tell you this later. Okay. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. What did Jesus say? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. You can ask what you will. Why? You're in unity with God. So you have to be in Jesus. And his word is the equivalent of Jesus being in you. And see, many people are saying they're in Jesus. And they're Christians, but they don't keep his word. And John calls them later on, we'll see, liars. And says, and the truth is not in you. And Paul three times says, don't let no one deceive you with lying words. And he named a whole bunch of sins. And he said, if you practice this, you'll not make it to heaven. He didn't get into theology. And these people say, well, that don't mean, yes, it means just what it says. If you want to live this way, he says, you're not in God's kingdom. God expects holiness, and he gives the ability for people to obey, or you're not in Christ. If you think you have to sin all the time and disobey God, then you need to find out what Peter said. Examine yourself and see whether you're in the faith or not. Something's wrong. Because he said, we have been delivered from this principle that we do not have to willfully keep rebelling against God. Okay. If what you heard from the beginning, and that was the gospel, beginning with Jesus and further, if it abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Notice he didn't say if you were born again here, or when you were saved. Notice he never uses this terminology. Why? Because, see, that was never a proof. You know, why? Because that was just an experience, and experiences can be forfeited. And relationships can be forfeited. I'll prove it. Jesus said what? Every branch in me, notice the term he used, that bears not fruit, he said, my Father will cut it off and cast it aside. Without me, you can do nothing. He said, but if you abide in me and my word abides in you, notice he links him with his word. That's why it's called the word of God. You cannot have Jesus and not obey Jesus' words. See, that's the lie that John's going to tell us later. He'll go more clearly on this. See, many people are going to say, Lord, Lord. And God's going to say to them, Jesus is going to say, I either never knew you, or he's going to say you're a backslider and you're an apostate. You began, but you fell away. That has some hard words for these people. Peter did. He says, better not to have known the Lord than to turn away from him. Why? Because you come under a greater judgment. You crucify Christ again and despise the Spirit of grace. And remember, the only sin there is no forgiveness for was he that blasphemeth the Holy Spirit. Scripture says all manner of sin will be forgiven. But if you trample the blood of Christ and despise the Spirit of grace, this means to strive against God's Spirit when he's trying to work with you. It's continual resistance against the Holy Spirit when he's trying to deal. One day he'll back up and say no more. And no man comes to God, and he doesn't come back to God. Paul said, perhaps God will give some of them the gift of repentance. See, they can't come back anytime they want to. See, it's a fallacy. You can't come to God anytime you want to. When the gospel's preached and the Spirit convicts of sin, today is the day of salvation. And many people say, oh, now that I know it, I'll accept the Lord next month. God may not deal with you next month. That's his prerogative. He said, today is the day. Of salvation. Now, he might wait, but he's given no guarantee. Many people waited one day too long. There are many people in hell who were going to get right with God. They just didn't have another day. And we've told them many stories about this, and I know personal stories like this. And I have a relative that for 30 years that I've been a Christian has told me that when she gets old and she can stop drinking and smoking, then she's going to become a Christian. Well, let me tell you a little secret. She's 72 years old. She stopped smoking and drinking because she had heart attacks and a stroke. and she hasn't become a Christian, and her husband's a preacher, and she's not going to become a Christian. Because the Holy Spirit stopped dealing with her years ago, and she just doesn't know it. See? There's a time that people blaspheme the Holy Spirit. They don't even know it. And the Spirit will not strive anymore. You don't give no guarantees. See, that's why I tell people, don't despise. Paul warned against it. He said, don't let the grace of God be given to you in vain. Why? Because he can withdraw it. He said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will harden whom I will harden. He hardened Pharaoh. He hardened King Saul. He hardened Solomon. He hardened many when they hardened themselves toward him and kept refusing his what? Correction. To despise his word. He says one day, one of the hardest scriptures in the Bible that we need to tell the sinner and the backslider. Read it, it still applies. Proverbs speaks of wisdom, and Jesus has made wisdom to us. And the scripture says, he said, I sought you daily. I came to draw you and meet with you, and you spurned me, and you shut your ears to me. This is God speaking. He says, the time will come that you will cry out to me in your fear, and I will stop my ears and mock your fear. That's terrible when God mocks a person and cuts them off. He still does it. People don't believe he does that. Read scripture. 4 and 5 times the scripture only records God laughing. Go back and study it. And 4 of the times he's mocking wicked people that have mocked him. Does God have a sense of humor? Certainly not. He's dead serious when it comes about sin. He don't play games. And many have ended up in hell because they tried to play with God. And they tried to play with God's grace. One day too long. The children of Israel missed it by one day, didn't they? After God was tolerating them for 3 years. And one day was too much. And they changed their mind the next day and said, we will obey God. And Moses says, don't, because God's not with you no more. Saul tried it. Saul kept rejecting the word of God when God warned him not to. And then he finally killed priests because they protected David. And then he had the nerve to get a fortune teller to try to drum up Samuel. And when the Spirit came forth, he said, God doesn't talk to me no more through prophets or the holy lot, you know, or angels. Of course he didn't. Well, he couldn't inquire of the holy lot. He killed the priest. And priests were afraid of him. And of course the Lord wouldn't speak to him no more. See, he was an anointed king. And when God rejected him and the Spirit came on David, what did it say about Saul? And the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit came and terrorized him. To his death, it terrorized Saul. It was a demon, and he got no deliverance for it. And he once was anointed of God. Isn't this terrible? Look at his end, because he did not. He repeatedly spurned the Holy Spirit. It's a deadly thing to do. Okay, and so he says, what? If his word abides in you, which is what? The word of truth. The Spirit of truth, then you abide in the Father and the Son. It's interesting, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, his words, he said, the Father and I will come and make our abode with you. How are they going to do it? Through the Holy Spirit. He says, we'll come. But who is he going to do it for? The backslider? The wicked? The lukewarm? He didn't say that. He said, for those who keep my word. Acts says he gives his Spirit to those who do what? Obey him. He doesn't give it to the world. See, unless there's repentance and turning from sin and a submission to his lordship, they get false spirits. I don't care what kind of tongues they get. Hindus and Mormons speak in tongues. What does that prove? I don't care how many times they shake and fall on the floor. They do that in voodooism. Prove nothing to me. And shall I go down the list? And their hands burn? The Mormons get the burning bosom, and that proves to them they've got the true religion. No, they got a demon. And the Catholics see apparitions of Mary. You know what they see? A demon. They don't see Mary. Because the Mary that speaks to them is in conflict with Scripture. And I'm for experiences. If you want to shake and run and have fits, do it. Just don't do it in front of me while I'm teaching. You can go in the other room and shout and yell all you want. If that makes you happy. I'm just saying it doesn't prove anything. And I've been slain in the Spirit, and I speak in tongues, and I've had experiences, and I've seen the Lord, and I've seen angels, and I've seen demons, and I can end up in hell tomorrow. Proves nothing. Just means I have to answer for more. Much is given, much is required. I have to continue in the Word, the same as you have to continue in the Word. And I have to continue to the end. I have to finish my race, as you're going to have to finish yours. So I'm all for experiences. But experiences cannot be backed by Scripture, and experiences and signs and wonders never saved a person and never kept a person. Only the Word of God keeps a person, and they have to keep the Word. Experiences are fine. Signs and wonders, they get people's attention for it, but it never kept a person. Why? Because to be kept, you must consistently obey. It has something to do with what we call will, that God does not override. We have to serve Him willingly, and we're given the ability to do it, or we can refuse to do it. It's never automatic. Okay, we are at verse 24. Word of truth. The word of truth is the spirit of truth also. Okay, and this is the promise. What? He will abide in us, and we abide in Him if we keep His word. See why? It simply means we. Why do we pray the Lord's Prayer? Notice one of the first things of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If you're not in that category, you're not in the kingdom. You have to be seeking the will of God. Why? Jesus is the King. You're bought with a price and you're not your own. You give up the right to run your life. If you're running your life, you're a backslider or you don't have the truth. Take your choice. Don't matter to me. You know? And we must continually follow the King. He is the shepherd that leads the sheep. He does not drive the sheep. He will not grab you by the ear and pull you into the kingdom. He will discipline. He will correct. He will woo. He will warn. He will be long-suffering. But ultimately, you will choose to follow or you won't. He will not override the will. Demon powers try to override a will. That's why I'm very eerie of people who tell me, and I understand what they mean, but they go too far. They'll prophesy and speak in tongues and tell me they can't help it. I said, if you can't, you're under the influence of a demon. Because I've prophesied and spoken tongues, and I was fully in control. For the spirit of prophets are subject to prophets. They can't override you. If some spirit makes you do something, it ain't God. He can overwhelm, he can influence, but he will not make you. You have to choose. If you go back to Scripture, just so you understand it, it says, they spake. Who did the speaking? The people. As the Spirit gave utterance. When they spoke in tongues, it didn't say God grabbed them by their throat and made a rah, 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 rah. That's a demon. But we got a lot of people speaking in tongues when the Spirit's not given utterance. That's called fanaticism. When people try to teach you how to speak in tongues, laugh in their face. When they want to lengthen your leg, say lengthen it a foot. Don't give me that quarter of an inch stuff. Yeah, I've been in these meetings before. I've walked, stood up and walked, enough of the circus. Circus comes to town, and everybody's got a leg that's 2 inches and a half an inch. I said, baloney. I looked at half the people. I walked in one time and embarrassed a few people. I said, isn't this interesting? I'm not going to tell you where. I'm not sure where I used to work. They're worried about their foot being lengthened 1/4 of an inch, and they're sitting there with glasses that thick. I said, tell God to leave my leg alone and heal my eyes. Do something real. Or they fall on the floor and wiggle a while. Big deal. You know? Big deal. I'd like to see if it's going to be a true gift. He's got 9 of the supernaturals. Why do we have to have something new? How come somebody has to throw a coat at people so they can fall on the floor? Well, I can throw beer bottles at people and they'll fall on the floor. What is that proof? I'm not into fanaticism. If it's real, it can be validated. People say, well, don't have no unbelief. No, I believe in truth. And any miracle and sign, if it can't be validated, it's false. Because the Holy Spirit never confirms a lie. And he never confirms fanaticism. See? So when people start telling me that this is the Spirit, I say, how can it be the Spirit? You don't even know the Word. You're going to sit there and tell me this is the Spirit when you don't even know Scripture? 9 out of 10 of them, I could tell them it's false, and I can give them Scripture. But they've got the Holy Ghost. They don't need the Bible anymore. That's what they tell you. You know, they've got deeper revelation. Yeah, you know where they got it? From Satan. Because the Spirit and the Word always agree. I know it's laughable, but this is how pathetic it is. I won't give you her denomination because they got some good people in it, and they got some fruitcakes like most of them. This person told me when I was a young Christian, when I said, you know, it's when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and she corrected me. It's supposed to be a pillar of the church. And she told me, you shouldn't say Holy Spirit. It's Holy Ghost. Well, that's good King James, though, isn't it? And I like the King James. I read it because I'm used to reading it. I read 15 other translations, too. And I said, well, it's the same word. I went and studied it. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, actually taken from the... Oh, no. She said, it's the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, I don't see that in the scripture. She said, well, God showed me. I said, how did he show you? And she told me. She proceeded to stand up in her kitchen and she says, I walked and I was praying and I said, Lord, is it Holy Spirit? And she says, you know, nothing happened. But when I walked around in the room and I said, is it the Holy Ghost? She said, the power hit me and my hand shook and I went all around the room and I thought, you didn't get nothing but fanaticism. You didn't get nothing but what the Mormons get, burning bosom. You didn't get nothing but what the Quakers get, shaking. It proves diddly squat. Hold to God's word, and if no experience can be validated, throw it out. And I tell people, if you want to shout and run, and do it. But Paul said, when you're around other Christians, be careful what you do. And if you do it around other Christians, they have a right to judge it. Oh, judge not. That ain't what Paul said. He said, judge it. He said, even when prophets speak prophetically, let the other prophets judge it. And you know, when they were wrong, they rebuked them, exposed them. And I've heard many people in my 30 years as a Christian get up and say, the Lord said this. And I said, the Lord said no such thing. They get mad at me. I was in a prayer meeting one time, and this person said, thus saith the Lord. And the Spirit said to me, this isn't me. And you know, I slipped and I said, that's not the Lord. And he turned around and slapped me real good. And I started laughing. And I thought, surely the Spirit of the Lord's not in him. He was going to beat me up because I told him it wasn't from the Lord. When the Scripture says, judge these things. I laughed. It just struck me so funny. You know, he's so mad because I dared question him. Question them. Question the lying prophets on television. I can name five of them now that every one of you know. And I know people who've worked at three of their ministries. And I can give you proof of false prophecies they gave, but they never talk about them. They never go back and talk about their false prophecies. They forget about them and go on to the next one. Well, let me tell you, you prophesy enough, one day you got to hit something right, don't you? Even Gene Dixon does that. Is that any credit? I don't see that's no credit. You think God's changed his attitude? He has not. If he wanted false prophets put to death in the Old Testament, all you had to do was give one false prophecy in the Old Covenant. God says you take them out and stone them to death. Do you think his attitude has changed toward false prophecy? Not one bit. I tell people, if you're going to say, thus saith the Lord, you ought to at least have a demon talking to you and believe it's God and have an experience and to sit there. And Jeremiah said they prophesy out of their own spirit and they have seen nothing. Vain imaginations. They wouldn't know if God was talking to them. Sit there and tell you it's the Holy Ghost. I said, no, the Holy Ghost is not that way. The Scripture's already told me what he's like. He don't do things that are in conflict with his word. He won't do something that's in conflict with what he's already said. He cannot contradict himself. He'd be a lying spirit if he did this. So again, this is why we need the word to test all experiences. And then when we test them, we hold to that which is good. And we throw out that which isn't. You know, don't be afraid to do this. We should do it. And if you're not sure, leave it alone. If someone you think is moving from the Lord and you don't know they are, you're better off to leave it alone. You don't have to receive it. Don't play no guessing game. Leave it alone. Say, I don't know. I'll leave it alone. Because you're accountable for what you receive. Do you know that? We'll get into that too. Okay. What got me on that? I don't know. Okay. If what you heard abides in you, and he will abide in the Son and in the Father, and this is the promise that he has promised us what? Eternal life. Who is eternal life for those? Those who abide in the Father and in the Son. How shall we term it? Paul called it walking in the Spirit. See, that's what he called it. Notice the tense always in Scripture is continual. See, it's interesting. The false teachers always like to put it as a past experience. You know, I believe in past experiences. They're just not no good today unless you're walking in them. No. When Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me, in the original, the context is continually take up the word. It's a daily thing. You just didn't take up your cross when you came to the Lord. You began to take up your cross. Why? Because you know that old man sits there and waits for you every morning, doesn't he? He waits for me. You know. And then some people have told me, well, when they were sanctified, they didn't have the old man. I told them they were a liar. I ain't never met no one that never had the old man deal with them sometime. That's being past temptation. Have you ever met anybody that's never tempted? They're so deceived, they don't know what temptation is. They're just like the people who say they're in no condemnation because they're in Christ Jesus while they're living in adultery. They're liars and the truth's not in them. They're just deceived. See, they have rejected the spirit of conviction and called it condemnation. You know what I call it? Blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Not much hope for these people. That's what I call it. That's why I'm so hard on it. You don't resist the Holy Spirit. You don't live in sin and then tell people you're walking in Jesus and you're not under condemnation. The Word of God, the law, and the new will always attack sin in anybody. It's the lifestyle we have to watch. And John is very good on the lifestyle. Okay, and what is the promise? Eternal life. What does Jesus say? This is eternal life, that you know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. And He said, and you cannot know Him till the Spirit of truth comes. And you cannot know Him until you abide in the truth. Notice how He always links them. And He says, and this is eternal life. Eternal life is in Christ Jesus. It's not something from Christ Jesus. Heretics are telling you salvation is something God gives you, and you can go live your own life. You got fire insurance. Yeah, they're on the way to hell. They're going to find out their fire insurance policy wasn't legitimate. No. If you study Scripture, you'll see that it's Christ He gives Himself. The Scripture says He is made unto us salvation. It's only as you're in unity with Jesus are you saved. That is eternal life, knowing Him. There ain't no separation. These are false teachers that teach this, as if He can give you something and you can live your own life. Well, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. I didn't say that. John said it. Okay, now we get to another thought. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. All of the epistles and the apostles use the word deceive, basically, in most cases. It is astounding that every one of the New Testament writers deal with false teachers and false prophets. How come most of our pastors today don't? Because most of them are false themselves and they don't know it. Say it. Jesus said the blind lead the blind and they'll both fall in the ditch. How can He teach you when He don't know Scripture? He's off in some Disneyland program trying to get numbers when He don't even know what the Scripture requires of him. See, people better get back to the Scripture. You know? We better get back to the Word and leave all this other stuff aside. Okay, he said, I don't want no one deceiving you. How was he deceiving them? They were deceiving them. John was dealing with the same people Paul was dealing with. He was dealing with people who say, well, even if you are a Christian and God has cleansed you, you can sin all you want. It doesn't matter. You have a license to sin. Well, that sounds like a lot of Baptists, I know. Sounds like a lot of Calvinistic Baptists. Oh, I believe in getting off to all of them. You know me. I'm a good, what they call, iconoclast. You know what that is? It means you shatter people's idols. I'm not into denominations, because God isn't. He don't care. What He cares is if that individual and that local church obeys His word. You know? See, people get off in this silly stuff. See, that's what Paul said. One was saying, I'm of Peter. I'm of Paul. And Paul said what? Was Peter crucified for you? You know? See, when you're more proud of your denomination than you are of God and the word, you're an idolater. You're an idolater. That's what I tell people. I don't care. Call me what you want. I believe the Bible. You know. And it's fine if your particular church is serving the Lord. And when they ain't, aren't, will not, cannot, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit takes the lampstand out. And all they are is an institutional building with a bunch of pagans. And many of them may have been good at one time. They're just not good no more. One of the best churches 50 and 100 years ago was the Methodist Church. Now they're one of the worst. They've let more paganism in there. I'll go down the line and name all your denominations so nobody will be left out. But I don't got time. I believe there's one church, the body of Christ, those who are true believers. Wherever two and three gather, there is the church. Okay? God isn't into this. This is carnal and of the world. Okay. And he says what? I don't want you deceived. Why? I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. He says, I'm exposing them. See, pastors and shepherds and teachers are supposed to be exposing false teachers, and they're cowards, and they won't do it because they're false. And on the other hand, they're not called. I have to give them that. They're not called. See, if they're called, they know their responsibility. You cannot be apostolic. You cannot be prophetic. You cannot be an evangelist. You cannot be a pastor or teacher until you understand James' warning, until you understand what Paul says. You have to be called. See, they take it up upon themselves. Well, if you're going to take up the word and call yourself a teacher, you better teach the word or keep your mouth shut. Because every soul that goes to hell because you didn't give them the truth and you gave them a half gospel, you'll go to hell with them. God will require their blood at your hands. That's why I tell people, don't link yourself with them. John didn't. He says, you don't even welcome them into your house, false teachers. He says, lest you partake of their sins. You support a false teacher and a false shepherd, God will hold you accountable for it. You know that? Maybe we'll get into that one day. That disturbs people. Judge not, judge not. They make me sick to my stomach. Why don't they finish the scripture? Paul said, we judge those within the church, not those without. And he said, those who claim to be believers and live in sin, he said, you throw them out of the church if they don't repent. Are they doing that? No, because we're supposed to love them. They love the world, the flesh, and the devil. They don't love God because they don't keep his word. They are called angels of light. They are called wolves in sheep's clothing. What does this mean? They appear to be Christians because they take a few scriptures, the ones they like, and they smile. What does that prove? You know, and they try to be sweet. It's phony. The Pharisees, that's why Jesus said, outwardly you appear clean, but inwardly you're dead man's bones. And we got a lot of shepherds who are nothing but dead man's bones. And I can tell you, for one reason, I don't need a discernment. I don't need a gift of discerning spirit. I can sit and listen to them for 1 hour and tell you if they're false or not, or whether they should get out of the pulpit and go find out what they're supposed to be doing. Okay, let's move along. But the anointing, only used 3 times here, 4 times in the whole New Testament. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. What abides in you? Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, and what? The Word of Truth. Cannot be separated. This is what the Holy Spirit does. So he's saying what? The anointing which you have received from him. Who did you receive it from? The Holy One. Jesus the Baptizer. He said, for when I leave, I will send the Holy Ghost. I will send him. We're not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about receiving the Holy Ghost. You receive that salvation. Baptism is going on. These are different feelings, different means. Maybe we'll get into that one night. But when Jesus resurrected, one of the first things he did, he appeared to the apostles. And this was 50 days, 40 to 50 days before Pentecost, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he looked at all 11 of them. And he said to them, because Judas wasn't there. And he looked at them and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he breathed on them. That's when they were born again. That's when the kingdom changed. That's when he said, I will dwell in you. I'm with you, and I'm in you. See, all things were given to him. And he gave them the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Christ. He did what? He entered them in a way that never. The baptism came later. Okay, so notice what he's saying here. But the anointing, so the anointing here is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's receiving Jesus. It's when he entered you. It's when you submitted to his lordship. And if you want to use the word, when you were reconciled, when you were redeemed, when you were salvaged, when you were adopted, when you were sanctified. People say, well, I thought sanctification was after salvation. No, the scripture says they were sanctified unto redemption. Sanctification begins the moment you're saved, actually the moment before. He sets you apart to cleanse you. That blows some people's theology. Let them be disturbed. Okay. The anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. One of the most misunderstood scriptures by so-called spirit-filled Christians. I call them idiots. Again, they're the ones that tell you they got filled with the Spirit and they don't read their Bibles. Let me tell you a little secret. You're not filled with the Spirit when you don't know Scripture. You're filled with fanaticism and emotionalism. That's what you're filled with. You're not filled with the Spirit because he don't fill stupid people. He don't anoint people to go preach and teach and give the Scripture when they don't know what the Scripture is. See? That's why you can find it. A lot of people, oh, I want to be filled with it. No, you don't. They can be, well, I want to speak in tongues. I said, no, you won't. You don't even pray in English. Why would God give you tongues, you idiot? You think, am I hard? No, Jesus called them fools. He called his own disciples fools and slow to learn. He got fed up with this sometimes. And he has, and we have a right to. Now, don't kid yourself. Many people think they're filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is for boldness to witness because you're going to be attacked by the world and persecuted when you give a true witness. Now, do you want to be filled with the Spirit? 9 out of 10 I'm going to back up and say, I don't know if I want that. All I wanted was tongues. Well, God wouldn't give you tongues. He's trying to keep your mouth shut. He don't want you being a reproach to him and going out there preaching something you don't understand. We got people out there witnessing, preaching that don't know Scripture. Keep their mouth shut. They're called novices. They're called babes. And they need to grow in the milk of the Word until they can grow up and understand what the gospel is. I don't believe in this silly stuff. And let me go a step further and offend a few more. And I don't believe in children's ministries. You'll not find it in Scripture. God does not anoint little 7 and 8 year olds to pray and to minister for him. He cannot, because they're under the authority of their parents, and if he permits them to do this, he has to allow the devil to attack them, and your parents can't help them if he did that. They have to have the authority and the knowledge to be able to deal with the devil. Do this as a four-year-old. This is hogwash. See, they're trying to find another way to get the gospel out because the old way won't work because they won't obey it. God calls people to preach the gospel, and he calls people to teach it. And he has not changed the means or the method that he does it. And he doesn't call novices. He told novices, and that means beginners, be quiet. Learn. That's what I tell people when they come to the Lord. Take a year and learn. Keep your mouth shut and just learn. No, I don't believe in that. Oh, anybody can tell what happened to them if you mean by giving a testimony. But you have no business evangelizing. You don't even know what you're talking about. That's why we got so many people accepting the wrong gospel. The new thing today is what? Do you want to receive Jesus? Makes me sick. Makes me want to vomit. People supposed to be in the Lord for 30 years that I know. It's supposed to be spirit-filled. We got many people saved this week. All you did you preach salvation? Did the conviction of sin come? Did they realize they were at enmity with God? Oh, no. It says, I went up to him and said, do you want to receive eternal life? Jesus has eternal life for you. All you have to do is receive it. And they said, oh, I'll receive it. Thank you. Blasphemy. Foolishness. They didn't preach the gospel. They preached silliness. They didn't preach repentance. They didn't preach conviction of sin. When the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin. If you're not convicted of sin, you didn't get saved. Very simple. I didn't say that. Scripture says it. They're given a false gospel. That's why we're having so-called revival. It's not true revival. They're doing what Constantine did in the 3rd century. He made a statement as the emperor. Everybody in my kingdom's a Christian. Amen. Overnight, 70 million people became Christians. Wasn't that a marvelous revival, wasn't it? Well, of course, they were still worshiping their idols and doing everything else. Same in Catholicism in South America. Everybody's Catholic by day and voodoo by night. Hasn't changed much. Down there in Haiti, they say 20% Protestants, 80% Catholics, 100% voodoo. That's the truth. See, that's the kind of salvations you're getting. This is the great revival sweeping the land. Well, let me ask you something. Look at it. Is there conviction of sin? Is there holiness? Is there repentance? I don't see it. I see self-centeredness. How God's going to bless me and meet all my needs. All I see is this year after year after year. They won't go to the cross. They won't do what Jesus said, take up the cross and follow me. They're parasites. They're false. They're blind leading the blind, and the people love it so. We're at that time. The people love it. But it doesn't change the truth. God never changed the gospel. It's only through the conviction of sin, and those who proclaim it are people saved. They're not tricked into it. They're not told half-truths. They're not told that God just wringing his hand and loves them no matter what they do, and somehow he's going to find a way for them. No, he's going to find a way in hell for them if they do not repent, for they're at enmity with God. And when the Spirit comes, now let me ask you something. All the people you know filled with the Spirit, is that what they're preaching? Then I doubt whether they're filled with the Spirit. Are they taking a stand for the Word of God when they get persecuted and when the people in their church don't like it? It's because they're not filled with the Spirit. Oh, they may have had an experience at one time, but they lost it the first time they were tested because they didn't take a stand. We're given the Spirit to take a stand. We minister life and death to people. Now, let me tell you, when you minister life and death, you get trouble. Paul sure got it. Jesus sure got it, didn't he? Now, how come today they're not getting trouble? Because they cease preaching the truth that offends. The truth of God's Word always offends the worldly. It offends them so much they have to accept it or they have to attack you, but they're not the same. When you sit and listen to me, life and death is ministered. Do you know that? Life and death. And that's why some people come and they never come back, because death is ministered. They don't like what's said. But that's not my problem. I'll go to hell if I don't say what it says. See, they chose, like Paul said, then they judged themselves unworthy of the kingdom. Let's get back to Scripture. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, then weigh what it means. It means you're going to suffer more for Jesus, and it means people in the world and your family are going to less like you. And people say, well, Jesus promised to go to Acts, one scripture out of context. He promised to save your whole house. He never promised no such thing. That was given to one person. It was never given as doctrine. Jesus promised the opposite. He said, I will set a man against his house. He says, you think I come to bring peace in your house, in your church? He said, I come to bring a sword. I will set a man against his own house. The truth will always divide. If we're going to divide, let it be over truth. And see, the ministers today are saying what? I don't like to preach divisive stuff. It's because you're a coward. That's why. I only want to speak things that unify. Your unity is of the devil. It has nothing to do with truth. The scripture says we're to maintain unity in the faith. They're not in the faith. They're preaching a false faith. Because unity speaks truth and love, but it does give the truth. And I don't see the truth being given. They've compromised it to get along with people. That's why the world runs the church today. Don't tell me we're not Sardis and Laodicea.